So just some clarifying notes, this gospel text with the whole Greeks that have come, there were those who were not of Hebrew origin who had come to believe and would come to Jerusalem for the different feast days and such. But there was also a prophetic utterance, a prophetic sign that was being fulfilled. When the Gentiles come seeking Jesus, then the hour has come. The time has come. Fulfillment has come. Now is the hour. Point of clarity, too, as we look at the second reading, it says that when he was made perfect, there's one way you can say this, well, Jesus wasn't perfect and then he was made perfect. Something completely wrong with that, isn't there? And Jesus is the Son of God. He is perfect. The understanding of that point of clarity is that when he came to the perfect time, when everything was brought to its perfect end for which it was purposed, then he offers himself. And so Jesus being made perfect is also a sense of the timing of things to be perfect. Now is the time. Not an hour ago, not an hour from now. Now. Now is the time. Jesus is brought to that perfection and that perfect moment. You see in the first reading, this invitation, this prophetic utterance of a new covenant that will be made, not on tablets of stone, not on scrolls written of something outside of my people. Not a covenant in which requires sacrifices outside of my people, sacrifices for lambs and sheep and goats and calves and bulls and birds, lions and tigers and bears, oh my, right? It's this not this outside sacrifice. It's not where God desires the transformation. He wants the transformation to take place in our hearts. And so he can't write the law. He can't write this new covenant on something exterior. He must write it within our hearts. You ever thought about that? Like, what would that look like? Right? I mean, you got some of those permanent markers that mark pretty well on skin. If you've ever made a mistake, you know, right? Or crazy glue, or like Gorilla Glue makes a mark on your skin pretty good. It doesn't come off, even though they're clean. How will it be that God writes this in our heart? Well, when did he give the law? He gave the law after he had freed them from slavery in Egypt. He brought them into the desert, there at the mountain, to encounter him and to give the law. There was a feast day, the Jewish calendar of this day, every year to memorialize this. 50 days following Passover, 50, they called the feast day Pentecost. It's a Jewish feast day, first. But if Pentecost is the giving of the law, then Pentecost in the Christian reality is the fulfillment of the promise today in the first reading. That God chose the feast of Pentecost, the giving of the law, to give his Holy Spirit to dwell within the hearts of believers. That indwelling in the hearts of believers, that it be written within their hearts, to lead to real transformation. This is the fulfillment, my brothers and sisters, of God writing his law within our hearts. That it wouldn't be the sacrifice of lambs and sheep and goats and all of these things, but it would be the sacrifice of ourself, our will, knowing the will of the Father and coming into conformity with it and offering the gift of ourself. This is what he desires. He doesn't desire the execution of animals. He desires our heart to be broken for him, to be given to him, to be one with him, in the Holy Spirit. In the Holy Spirit we are made one. We turn to the gospel text, Jesus rejoicing that the time has now come. He says he's pretty disturbed. You'd be too. You knew it was coming, right? His cross. He's pretty disturbed. He says, but what should I do? Save me from this hour? This is why I came. To make this gift of myself. Father, be glorified. And boom, the voice of the Father. Was that thunder? What was that? You know? It's the voice of the Father echoing, I have been glorified and I will glorify myself again in you. Jesus says that if a seed doesn't allow itself to die, it simply remains a seed. You remember when in second grade, third grade, I think it's third grade, science class, you take the lima beans, you wrap a paper towel around it, put it in a cup, fill it with water, and then every day you open it up and see the development of that bean, right? And the root that comes out and the little thing that's coming out. The bean is destroyed in the process. No longer a lima bean, thank goodness. The bean is destroyed in the process, but in so doing it bears fruit. I don't think we ever let it grow that long to bear fruit, because it kind of got stinky. As it goes into the ground, as it dies, it allows itself to be transformed, changed. New life comes forth. And so who is this that Jesus is speaking about? Who is this seed? Well, obviously it's Jesus, right? Obviously it's him who will lay down his life, who will give the gift of himself, and life will come forth from that gift. He is the place in which this transformation takes place. And where does this take place? It takes place on his cross. The cross becomes the seedbed. The seed is sowed. And there from his cross springs forth life. It's a beautiful mosaic in the church of San Clemente in Rome. In the back of the church, it's the mosaic of the cross, and Jesus is on it, and there are calling birds all over his cross for the signal, the gospel being proclaimed. And from the base of his cross, this beautiful vine is growing out all through the apse of the church. And in the vine, you see people at work and at labor, and you see animals and doing their animal things, all this stuff, all of this life springing forth from his cross. All life springing forth from the place of death, a radical transformation from death to life. But it's not just fulfilled in Jesus, my brothers and sisters. It's not just fulfilled in Jesus. What does he say? If you want to know where my servants are, you will find them with me. Where I am, my servants will be. Right? You see, for some people, the sensitivity, this invitation for us, that we enter into this same being, right? So Jesus, who is the second person of the Holy Trinity, incarnate, bringing into the world his communion with the Father, because the world had no communion with God. We were excommunicated, right? There was no life here. We experienced suffering and death and separation. So God must bring into our reality his communion. And so Jesus brings into our world his communion with the Father. And in that perfect communion with his Father, he is anointed with the Holy Spirit in order to proclaim the good news, to reveal the Father, to be strengthened, to heal, to preach, to teach, to restore, to bring life, and to lay down his life for the salvation of the world. And we, when we enter in, when we profess our belief in Jesus Christ, that in acknowledging our sin, knowing that we need a Redeemer, we profess that these are my sins, I need a Redeemer, I cannot redeem myself, no matter how great and awesome and how good of a life I lead, without Jesus, there is no salvation. Because I don't have communion with the Father by my good works. It is the Father who gives Jesus the invitation to come into the world and share his communion with us. Through him, we have life. Jesus takes that life to the cross. He takes that communion to the cross. And there he offers himself for the redemption of the world. You, my brothers and sisters, by your baptism, by your confirmation, have entered into becoming a new creation in Jesus Christ. You operate in the same way that Jesus did in his earthly existence. You have this reconciliation with the Father, do you not? By your baptism, you are reconciled with the Father, right? You're reconciled with the Father, period. At times we need to renew that reconciliation. So we have confession. But you are reconciled. The gift of the Holy Spirit, the fulfillment of the law being given to his people has now been poured into your hearts. By your confirmation, by your baptism, he is there dwelling within you. You are operating in that same gift that Jesus operated in his life, in his proclamation, in his healing, in his teaching. If he then takes that gift to the cross, where must we go? To the cross. Not for our redemption. Jesus has redeemed us. Through him we have been made a new creation. Through him we enter into that communion of life and love. But we go to the cross too. Why? Because where he is, so his servants will be. And so we go to the cross. And what happens at the cross? What happens at the cross, my brothers and sisters? I got to spend the last 5 days on retreat in silence up in Omaha. And part of the experience of that retreat and the inspiration, my retreat director asked me to write out a letter to Jesus of all of the pain and suffering that I endured as a child. All of the pain and suffering that I endured as a child. I had a pretty good life as a child. I wasn't physically abused. I had a good Catholic family, good home, never needed for food, never needed for clothing. My mom and dad were together for 58 years. But there was suffering, and there was pain. And I was made to feel shame for things in my life. So the director said, write a letter to Jesus. Every experience of suffering and pain that you experienced in childhood, write it out. And I was like, oh, it's going to be a letter. Began writing it out one time, got through and finished, and then I went back and read it, and I was like, oh, I forgot about this. Wrote a little line in between the two lines, paraphrasing something. Oh, I forgot this. Wrote another little line. Forgot this. I'm like, oh my gosh. Went through and then I turned the page and started just doing bullet points, right? Because then you can just have another bullet point in there. All of the pain, all of the suffering. I had this warehouse of pain and suffering. And the next day when I met with my spiritual director, I shared all of this stuff that was going on in my life. And she said, hey, what is Jesus asking you to do with it? I said, he's asking me to give it to him. He's asking me, one, to feel all of this. All of this. Not to numb it, not to ignore it, not to say, oh, well, that wasn't so bad. No, to feel everything, to open up the doors of that warehouse and say, here it is. Here's a treasury of pain and suffering. This is who I am. All my experiences of life are present here in this moment in me. You know that? There's fingerprints of all of the things that my older siblings did to me. The fingerprints all over me. All right? It's all here. All of the experiences is here if I let it be. See, the problem is so often when they're here, we don't want them to be. And so we numb them, we package them, we put them in a box, we shove them in the corner, we close the closet door, we lock it, hide it all away. That's not what we are to do. We are to bring it here into this present moment. Now is the time. How many times do we hear now in the gospel day? Now is the time. Now is the time, my brothers and sisters. Now, bringing everything that you have, everything. Jesus wanted me to be present in a way I have never been present before. It's funny, that's a play on words there, right? Present gift and present present. To be present in a way I had never, ever been before. The next morning when I woke up, I celebrated the Mass in my room by myself. And there, as I was there preparing the host and this, and I'm sitting there, I'm like, here's the place. Here's the cross. Here's the place you are inviting me to be one with you. Not for my salvation. I've already been saved by the blood of the Lamb. Praise the Lord. But in my salvation, I have a place to bring my pain and suffering. I don't have to numb it anymore. I don't have to ignore it. I don't have to pretend that it didn't exist. I can accept everything of it. And here, Jesus, you want me to place it on the altar of your cross, to make it one with you. And St. Paul says, I make up what was lacking in the sufferings of Christ. You ever come across that passage in Paul's letters? It's like, what? What was lacking in the suffering of Christ? What was lacking is Paul and his freedom, giving the gift of all his pain and suffering to Jesus, in union with him, through him, with him, and in him, to make one this gift of himself to the Father. That's what was lacking. Because Paul had not yet come into conversion. Paul had yet not given and be redeemed so that he could offer himself with Jesus. And I was invited to put everything there on the cross. To feel everything. And the bread that's placed upon that altar doesn't stay bread, does it? Praise the Lord. The bread that's placed on this altar, there's a bunch of it back there in the sacristy. I mean, it's stacked in plastic sleeves that look like Ritz crackers. We just keep it in an old tin in the sacristy. Why? Because it's just bread. Now, it's insufficient. It's dead. And it is alone. My brothers and sisters, when it is brought forward and is placed on this altar, and the Holy Spirit of God is called down upon it, when it is united in the one offering of Jesus to the Father, it is radically transformed. That which is alone becomes in communion with everything. That which was radically insufficient to satisfy any need becomes radically sufficient, and that which was dead becomes alive. That's what we believe. That's the faith of the church. It's what we believe happens on this altar to a simple piece of bread. This is the place of transformation, my brothers and sisters. The cross of Christ is the place of transformation. The cross of Christ is the place where death becomes life. And so all that you've experienced, all of the pain, all of the suffering, and I look around this room and I know too much. Make eye contact with people. I'm like, I'm not looking at you. Hey, I know you've experienced pain and suffering. I know injustice has been done to you. There's one thing. Let me make a distinction here, right? When we sin, we bring pain and suffering into our life. If you want to eliminate a lot of pain and suffering from your life, stop sinning. Okay? It needs to be said, right? Stop sinning, and a lot of pain and suffering goes away from your life. All right? Victory! Yes, that's one way to eliminate it from your life. But my brothers and sisters, you live in a broken world. You live in a broken world, no matter your intention, no matter your strength, no matter your ability. You are going to experience pain and suffering because this world is broken. And this is the place in which we're living, and this is the place where we hope. There is a place where the pain and suffering of your life meaning. There is a place here where you can bring all of the pain and suffering of your life. You don't have to numb it anymore. You don't have to run from it anymore. Here is Jesus saying, come, be lifted up to me. Join your pain and suffering that you've endured. Join it to mine. We will make one gift of ourselves to the Father today. Come in the Holy Spirit, made one with him. Come, bring all of your pain and suffering here, it will be transformed. If you don't want it transformed, then don't bring it. Because if it ain't on the altar, it ain't going to get transformed. If you want to hold on to that, the invitation to give that, my brothers and sisters, in that celebration of the Mass, there alone in my cells, I was praying and celebrating. I didn't hear any voices, no thunderclaps, there's no visions. But from that day until now, I have been changed. It's the craziest thing. For the last 3 days of my retreat, all we did, me and the retreat master, were just like, I'm like, is this real? Am I truly experiencing healing? And it's like, just wait till you get home. You'll see it. You can't see it on retreat because everything's different, right? It's all radically different. There's no TV there. There's no temptations there. You're just in a cell, eating food, walking around, chasing deer, watching turkeys, right? I've been changed. And each and every day after that, when I go to celebrate the Mass again, I say, all right, Lord, it's not just the warehouse of my past and all of that. I bring that too. But in the last 24 hours here, here's the place, my brothers and sisters. You don't have to run from pain and suffering anymore. Why? Because this is the place of transformation. The cross of Jesus is the place of transformation. What are we doing this whole season of Lent? We are preparing to enter into the celebration of Jesus' death upon the cross. Why? Because we are supposed to be one with Him. It's not supposed to be an idea. It's supposed to be what we're living. This weekend, we begin to cover things. I have to cover the cross. I got to get up on a ladder. We're supposed to cover things. Why? Because we are supposed to make the offering of ourselves. It's not going to be in ideas or images. It's us giving ourselves through Him, with Him, and in Him to the Father. You don't have to be afraid anymore, my brothers and sisters. You don't have to numb yourself anymore. Think about it. How many of your sins that are constantly there in your life, how many of them are a means to numbing the past? Yeah, pretty much all of them. Yeah, right? Be honest. Pretty much all of them. But what if we don't have to be afraid of our past? What if there's a place where all that has happened, all that has taken place, can have meaning and purpose, where something horrendous, something terrible, something that never should have happened to you, is able now to possess life? Here, this is where it takes place, the cross of Jesus. So I had it all planned out. I was going to write out this little prayer, have everybody get a little card, and have it, and be praying and take it home with you. I didn't get any of that done. I was working on putting that up on the wall, getting Gorilla Glue on everything. But it's going to sound something like this. I promise next week, if you come, you'll get a palm branch. Yay! But you will also have an opportunity, what? To bring all of your pain and suffering. To give it as a purpose and watch it be transformed and changed. If you put it on this altar, my brothers and sisters, it will be changed. It cannot remain the same if it is placed upon this altar. This is the place of transformation. So the prayer goes something like this. This is how I've imagined it in my head. I'm going to pause in between. Try not to talk too much during it, but inviting you, just kind of repeat it in your heart as you so will, as you so desire. Here and now, Father. Here and now, Father, at the cross of your Son, receive my heart broken, Holy Spirit made one. Not the reunification of my heart, but my heart with the pierced heart of Jesus. One, my heart with your heart, made one in the Holy Spirit. So again, here and now, Father, at the cross of your Son, receive my heart broken. Holy Spirit, made one. From dark to light. From false to true. From death to life. Make all things new. One of the most striking lines in the Passion of the Cross is when Jesus falls in front of his mom, and his mom runs to him, and he gets up. He looks at her and he says, "Look, Mom, I make all things new." There's a quote from the book of Revelation. In the mouth of our Savior, "I make all things new." My brothers and sisters, wherever there has been darkness in your life, wherever there is dark, here it can be changed to light. Wherever there has been falseness that's been a part of your life and lies, here it can be changed to truth. Wherever there has been death as a part of your life, here, at this cross, there is life. The promise, the invocation, the plea of our heart, make all things new. This is who we are. This is us being lifted up with the Son. I will draw all people to myself. But to escape from the world, save us from this hour, Lord, this is the life that you have been given. This is the hour you are invited to live in. This is the world in which we have been chosen to be a part of. To be drawn up to Jesus, to make this offering of myself to you, now, here in this place. Jesus, receive me. Receive my broken heart. And I witness to you today, if you do this, my brothers and sisters, it will be changed. I don't know if you can tell that I'm a little different now than when I last Sunday. Some stuff has happened in between now and then, this retreat, this whole thing. I have experienced more freedom in the last 4 days than I have ever experienced in my entire life. Here. All he asks is that you make this gift of yourself. Be true. Be present. Everything that you give, he will change and transform. Here, you make, in your freedom, in your will, you make one with him, the offering of yourself. Be drawn to him, my brothers and sisters. Be drawn to his cross today. And make this gift of yourself. Amen.